Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Who knows you best? Most of us would say, well, you would know yourself, of course. Or do you? I think it's easy for us to be lulled in this false sense of personal security, feeling that we know ourselves better than anyone else. We know our strengths. We know where we might need just a little bit of work. We know where we're our best friend and where we are our own worst enemy. We feel safe, probably even safest, when we rely on our own personal analysis of ourselves. Well, leadership would tell you that there is a problem with that kind of thinking. And that is, we all have blind spots. You might be thinking, no, Pastor, I don't think I have a blind spot. My friend, that's why it's called a blind spot. You probably all know someone who seems to be completely oblivious to some annoying habit or their flaw. Maybe someone close to you. Maybe sitting right next to you. You can see very clearly, but for some reason, they just don't see it. So maybe self-analysis isn't necessarily the best. That in mind, I think if we're smart, we're going to try to listen closely to other people around us to get a more realistic picture of ourselves. That's the safer way to grow and become a better version of ourselves. But if we think about it, even that has its flaws, because no one knows everything about us. No one, that is, except God. If we're looking to understand who we are, our strengths, our work weaknesses, where we can build on, and what we can change, God can bust that door wide open for us. Listening to Him is really the only safe way to go. And I think that's really the theme underneath our psalm today. In the sermon series, we have been on a quest for rest, the only kind of rest that truly brings calm to our souls, and that is spiritual rest. And to aid us in this quest, we have been trying to teach ourselves to use Luther's four strands of meditation, which, quite simply, are four questions that we could ask ourselves whenever we read a section of Scripture. So before we jump in again today and practice this, let's review for ourselves those four strands. So the four questions are, first of all, as I look at the text, what is God teaching me? And as I read through it, for what am I grateful? What does this text lead me to regret? What do I want to confess? And finally, on the basis of it all, what do I want to pray for? What do I want to ask from God? Now, we could spend a long time applying these four questions to a psalm like Psalm 139. So let's do this. Let's, under the theme of safe, let's pick out one main point from each of the four sections of this psalm and apply these four strands. So begin. We'll read through this psalm responsibly, at least the first section. I invite you to read with me. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me.
You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar.
You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways.
Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely.
You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me.
Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too long.
So the first question, what is the Lord trying to teach us here? I believe he's teaching us that he knows everything about us, inside and out. I'm going to say that one more time. The Lord knows everything about us, inside and out. He knows everything that we've ever done. He knows every thought we've ever had, every word we're going to speak, even before we speak it. He knows everything about the future. He knows how everything's going to turn out. In fact, he even knows all your possible futures depending on your life choices. Chew on that one a little bit. God is teaching us a truth, helping us to see something about himself, something that makes him different from anyone or anything else. He is omniscient. Now, this is a truth that I think many Christians know in their heads, but have a hard time grasping with their hearts. Somewhere along the line, we've all come to believe that, yes, God knows all things, but have we really stop to think deeply about the implications? God knows everything about you. He knows, he sees everything that you have done. That means he sees all the sacrifices you've made for your children, all the times that you've gone out of your way to help somebody. That's cool, eh? But he also has seen all the times you have done something hurtful, cruel, and selfish. He knows every kind and helpful word you've ever spoken. But he also knows every time you've muttered a harsh, judgmental comment under your breath. He knows all the times when you've honored him with your thinking, with your mind, and all the times that you've allowed lustful, vengeful, greedy thoughts seize control. My friend, you and I have all kinds of secrets, things that we hope no one else would ever see or know. God knows, because you can't hide anything from him. So how does that make you feel? Safe? I mean, if it's true that God knows, that he sees all those things we're so desperately trying to hide, of course we're going to be filled with a sense of guilt and shame. And it makes me want to jump right to the third question. Skip the second for a moment. Lord, what do I want to confess? Lord, I have not been who you want me to be. In fact, I've often not been who I want to be. I have messed up in horrible, shameful, embarrassing ways, Lord. Please, forgive me. And here's the thing. Before we're even done saying it, here comes God running toward us, arms open wide, wrapping us up in this big bear hug. And he says, I do forgive you. I love you. It's all covered. It's washed away in the blood of my son. Please don't dwell on that guilt and shame. Don't hold on to it. It's gone. You're safe. The Lord knows all things. And so the Lord knows what he needed to do to deal with people who are constantly doing wrong and think that the best way to deal with it is to lie about it and cover it up. He took all that ugliness and nailed it to the cross. He laid it on his son who took our place. Jesus carried that heavy burden of our guilt and shame, and through his sacrifice took it away. Through that powerful act of redemption, God has proved to us that he is for us and not against us. Yes, he sees, he knows everything that we have ever done, but he chooses to see it through the lens of his son, Jesus Christ, his blood. And he views us as only a compassionate father can. So what am I grateful for? I'm grateful that God has revealed this truth to me, that he has given me the faith to believe it. I am grateful that I have this peace of heart and mind, that I can feel safe. Where would I be without it? And what am I going to pray for? Lord, such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Help me continue to believe that, Lord, you love me and you forgive me, even though you know every ugly thing about me. Verse 7. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence?
If I dwell on the heavens, you are there.
If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea,
even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast.
Surely, if I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me,
even the darkness will not be dark to you, the night will shine like the day, for darkness is just light to you.
So what is the Lord teaching us here? There's another powerful truth that's one thing to grasp with your mind and another thing to actually integrate into the fiber of your daily life. God is teaching us that he is omnipresent, that he is present everywhere at all times. Now, for us, it's a little bit hard to wrap our minds around this. We are corporal beings. We have bodies. We can be in one place at one time. No, even though we certainly wish at times we could be in more than one place at a time. But God is everywhere at all times. The powerful personal application for our lives is that God is always with us. We are never alone. I want you to think for a moment of a time when you felt absolutely alone. When you were incredibly frightened, when you thought you had no control, that there seemed to be no help or hope in sight. No matter how alone you felt at that moment, you were not alone. God was there with you. One of my seminary professors told a story about a hospital visit he made to an elderly widow. She was going in for a very dangerous surgery. And he shared with her Psalm 139 and encouraged her that she was not going into this surgery alone, that she would not have to face her recovery or her rehab alone. In fact, that she had never been alone, that God had always been with her and would continue to always be with her. And this woman was so thankful. She said, Pastor, that is just what I needed to hear. I feel safe because I know God is with me. Well, like this woman, our life path often leads us to the bottom of a hill. And as we look up over that hill, the path disappears, right? And we have no idea what's on the other side of that hill. And sometimes our minds kind of go crazy as we start to imagine all the horrible things that we might experience on the other side of that hill. And sometimes the anxiety gets so great, we freeze and can't even move forward. God is everywhere, which means that God is already on the other side of that hill. He doesn't see things the way we do, you know, one moment at a time. He sees the past, the present, the future. He sees it all. And when he sees these things, we can be sure that it's not like he's going to be surprised. Like, whoa, I didn't see that coming. And we can also be sure that he's already figured out how he's going to get us through it. Like I said before, this is a truth. It's hard for us to apply when those storms of life arise. We're like Peter, right? Who's trying to walk on water, loses sight of the presence of God, Jesus, and focuses on the wind and the waves. And so my confession is, Lord, forgive me that so often I fail to believe, to trust the truth of your word, to know that you are always there with me. My prayer, I do believe, help me overcome my unbelief. Verse 13. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb.
I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well.
My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth.
Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days that were made for me were written in your book before one of them came to be.
How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them.
For I cannot count them, but they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you.
So what is God teaching me? He's teaching me that he's the one who shaped and he fashioned me. So I picked some flowers from my garden, brought them in. As we look at this, we'd say, this is something God fashioned and designed, right? It's absolutely beautiful. The color, the shape, design, how it all flows together. We have no problem looking at this and calling this a work of art. My friend, you are a work of art. As complex and as beautiful as this flower is, it pales in comparison to you. I mean, think about it. You can reason. You can feel. You can create. You can love. You have talents and passions that bring to our family, to our community, our society, things that bless us in powerful ways and are completely unique. You are a work of art because God has shaped and fashioned you. And I'm grateful for that. And I'm grateful for you. But why is it that for so many of us, you know, we struggle to see ourselves as works of art? Why do we allow Satan to so easily convince us that we are nothing, we are unimportant, we are not specially gifted? Why do we so often assign ourselves labels like ugly or stupid or overweight or unathletic? Why do we wish at times that we could be like someone else, perhaps even be someone else? Our confession, Lord, forgive us, right, for dissing your creative handiwork. Help us to see the beauty that you have designed and created in us. In fact, help us also to see and appreciate the beauty that you have put in the people around us, right? Our spouses, co-workers, other cultures and ethnicities. Our prayer, Lord, help us be more secure in who you've made us. Help us see the beauty that you've woven in us and through us, the diversity all around us. Open our eyes, Lord, and change our hearts. In verse 19, if only you, God, would slay the wicked. Away from me, you who are bloodthirsty.
Thanks be to you. Your adversaries misuse your name.
Do I not hate those who hate you, Lord, and abhor those who are in rebellion against you?
I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies.
Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts.
See if there is any offensive grain in me, and lead me in the way everlasting.
Look at those last verses. There's a lot there. So what are we going to pick out? What's the Lord teaching us? Let's focus on this. I am safe because the Lord knows the enemies that I battle without and within. And again, do we really appreciate the power of that truth? Now, as a counselor, I find myself talking all the time with people who are trying to figure out why they respond to people and situations in unhealthy and dysfunctional ways. They want to know how they can overcome their personal demons or how they can respond better to other people's demons. Unless we think it's just everyone else, I mean, how often have we responded in unhealthy ways to things in life, and we don't even realize it? For what am I grateful? I am grateful that God has given me a tool, that God has given me His Word. It's a knife, right? A surgical scalpel. It's sharp, and it cuts deep. And sometimes it speaks directly to the issue that is in my life. Or sometimes I see myself in the flaws of the individuals whose stories are recorded for me in this book, in the Bible. Sometimes God speaks to me through other Christians who have fought these battles and in Jesus have found victory. The point is, if anyone's going to help me know my enemies and overcome my enemies, again, if anyone's going to help me be a better version of myself, it's only going to be the Lord. Now, I don't know what goes on inside of you, but I know what goes on inside of me. And this section brings me right back where we started, to this whole struggle I have, that I think that I know myself best, that I know my own personal demons, my weaknesses, my failures, and of course I'm going to willingly admit them. But that's boulder dash. Because if left to myself, I'm going to self-destruct. I figured that out already in my life. Without the Lord, I'm not safe. And so, as I read this section of the psalm, my confession is, forgive me, Lord, for thinking that I can go it alone, for thinking that I don't need you, Lord, or other Christians in my life, when the truth is I desperately do. Forgive me, Lord, for not making more faithful use of the resources that you've given me, your word and your sacraments. In my prayer, Lord, help me to see more clearly that I am living in the midst of a war, that I am constantly battling enemies within and without. Knock down my foolish pride, because, Lord, I can't do this alone. I need you. I want to lean on you, Lord. Teach me to lean on you. Lord, you are the only one who can keep me safe. Lord, lead me in the way everlasting. Amen. Please stand. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our thinking and understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus.